Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ash Madison here of the No Cosign Podcast. We have a special episode today. I'm here with Nia Asiel from Chicago. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being willing to change the time 17 times that we scheduled to do this interview. It's been a trying time for both of us, let's just say.
Yes.
Speaking of trying times, I guess we could just jump right into it. How has COVID affected you in the sense of like music or just life in general? Because I feel like everyone's been affected in one way, shape, or form.
Right. So with COVID, it's crazy because I did two performances like early 2020 early 2020. And then next thing you know, I'm in school and then they say we have to go to remote learning in March of 2020, which is crazy because it's just like we went from being in class, doing everything that we wanted to do in person, and now it's a complete shift. So it was a little bit rough at first because, of course, it was an adjustment. But overall, it's going pretty well. Like, 2020 gave me time to really focus on my craft and really stack up the music I really wanted to, because I went to school in North Carolina, so I was able to come back home to Chicago and really hone in on my craft.
Yeah, as a person who's been out of school for a long time, remote learning has never been my thing. I'd be the one to forget like I even have school. Like, I have to physically be in the school for me to like actually like, oh yeah, I'm in college or I'm in class.
Right.
But like the first quarter of you performing, like, did you feel like there was momentum coming your way and then just abruptly stopped? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like were you able to maintain a momentum in that capacity with being able to hone your craft? Like, I get a lot of stuff from both sides of the fence where people have been mm-hmm. completely thrown off their game, and then people be like, oh no, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. So how would you really look at it in that standpoint?
So I think for me, like, it's half and half. Like, it stopped the momentum as far as performances go in person, but as far as social media, it's kind of easy to push your music on social media because you have so many different outlets to do it. So I think once I drop, the momentum is just going to pick right back up. Of course, I won't be able to do performances, but I could probably do some acoustic videos and, you know, YouTube Live, Instagram Live type performances. So I could really have my fans look at those instead of having to be in person until we are able to be in person.
For me personally, the like the YouTube or Instagram Live of an acoustic gives me a old school like MTV Unplugged feel. I don't know if you remember that in the day. Like, I've always been I'm a fan of just like live music, just going to live performances. So having that intimate feel, like, it sucks because it's socially distanced pretty much because everyone, you know, you're doing it online. But just seeing that of just like the artists with the band, just, you know, playing music and performing in an intimate setting has always been like, for me, even better than just like the actual album. Because I get to just see and feel like, you know, the music as opposed to just hearing it on like a DSP.
Exactly. I love acoustic music.
Yeah, so let's get into a little bit of your college days. You said you went to North Carolina. I see you went to NCAT.
Yeah, I went to North Carolina A&T. I majored in computer science. I was there all 4 years, got in, got out.
I have a love-hate relationship with Greensboro. It is, I have family there. I've been there once. I crashed a wedding. The atmosphere is very slow. I don't mm-hmm. How do you, would you compare Greensboro to Chicago?
Oh my God. Yeah, no, they're definitely night and day. Like,
oh my
Chicago
God.
is fast paced compared to Greensboro. Like, when I get down there, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is super slow down there.
Oh my
And
God. The
yeah,
only thing I
it's
liked
night and
about
day.
Greensboro is Green Street
Oh yeah.
and Cookout. Those are the two.
Man.
Those hush puppies got me. Like, every time I go to Greensboro, I always have to hit a Cookout. That's about it.
Yeah. Green Street is bussing. I do not like Cookout though.
Really?
Like, a lot of my friends from North Carolina probably, they're probably gonna hate on me for this, but I did not like Cookout at all. Like,
I think it's because, like, my cousin took me there and, like, they had so many flavors of, like, a milkshake, and I was just, like,
Oh
stuck.
yeah.
I was like, yo, this is, like, too many options for me. But, yeah, Hawk, you don't like Cookout? That's crazy.
Yeah, nah, I can't do it. Cannot do it.
So, computer science, a major, how do you find that it's a difficult career to break into? Or do you think the music business is harder to break into?
That's a good question. I think they're both equally as hard because, like, with computer science, you have to know how to, in school, of course, I had to learn how to code and go through all the different type of algorithms, equations, and things like that. So it definitely is difficult. It's challenging, but, like, I feel like a lot of people should go into it, especially minorities in tech. I think that's important to kind of have that background and really go into that. And as far as music-wise, music business, I really had to sit down and learn the music business because, of course, with artists, we have the creative side of our brains. But when it comes to the business side, we really have to sit down and be like, okay, I need to learn how to register my music before I even put it out. I know I'm excited to put it out, but that's why my single took so long to drop, because I actually took a music business foundations course, Berklee College of Music, and wanted to learn how to register and get my royalties and everything like that. So I think they're equal, to be honest.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because that's not a major that's like, oh, okay, like, I'm going to find a job. It's like,
right.
You got to really know your shit for you to, like, you know, even get in the door.
Exactly.
And then, obviously, you know, the music business, it's like a revolving door. It's like a needle in a haystack to, like, you know, get that one hit for someone to actually look at it for real, to kind of put the, to the people behind it. So that's why I was like, these are two difficult things to kind of break into. I also took a music course. I actually went to school for audio engineering, and one of the courses I took was a business of music course, and that solely changed my whole trajectory, because I used to do music, and once I saw how the music industry is, I was like, I don't want to do this shit. Like, it is it literally sucked the fun out of, like, doing music. Like, I would solely now do music for a complete recreation, because it's like learning the contracts and options, and, you know, like, you say you get an advance, but it's not an advance, it's just a loan. It's just like, it's like the, like, their wording for a lot of these things is, like, not meant for you to understand in a way. And
right.
then, like, just having a lawyer, but then the lawyer that you might pick might really still be really cool with the label that it's just like a really shady business. And I was like, you know what, I think I have a better shot of, like, doing, like, broadcasting, because that's more of a traditional type of job setting as opposed to music. Because even registering music, then the beats that you use, if you use a certain key, like, is that considered, like, you know, oh my God, it's like like, people just don't get it past, all they just get is the music. They just like, oh yeah, this sounds good. They don't know, like, oh, like, there's like 5 trillion steps before you can get everything, like, you know, approved and signed off on. I commend artists that really like pursue it, because like for me, as like, well, I would like to say a failed artist, it's because of that one course I took. It literally like took the luster of wanting to do music. So I commend you for that, for really pursuing your dream.
Appreciate it.
So speaking of like music and, you know, everything that you're doing here, I see that you're one half of a group, Dinero Duo.
Yeah, so I have me and my cousin are in a group called Dinero Duo, and that's what we were actually doing before COVID happened. We were performing, like, 2 performances, then we were, like, if COVID hit. So I'm in there with my cousin, and we make music. We actually have new music dropping this year, but, like, we made the song called Strong Money, and Strong Money, a lot of people liked it. As far as our family, new fans and friends, so we were like, we might as well go ahead and have a group name, a duo, since we always make music together anyway. So that's when we came up with Dinero Duo, and now we can really start back up as far as dropping music goes and hit the ground running with that. So we definitely have new music coming this year too.
So the Strong Money song, that sparked the interest for you guys to form a group. It was nothing before that that got you guys to wanting to form a group?
So it's crazy because we've been making music since we were younger. So we've always been working on our craft, and we've always been making music together. And after Strong Money, we were like, okay, we're older now, so we might as well go ahead and make a group. I don't think we really thought about it, like, growing up, because we were just having fun. Like, we literally used to make songs in the basement in my house, since I bought, like, the mic and I had a Mac. And so we were just having fun, really making music. And then once we did Strong Money, we went to the actual studio, and we were like, we might as well go ahead and make a duo and see how the reaction is. And the chemistry between us is just crazy when it comes to music. So we just took it from there.
So with this buzz and you guys having COVID cut short, do you feel when outside is opened back up, are you more focused on a solo venture, or are you going to kind of pick up right where you left off with the group?
So the way we're doing it, we're doing our solos, me as Neosiel and him as Simbo, and we're also doing our group thing. So we're gonna do both, so we could give our audiences as much music, you know, as possible. And just really showcase our craft together and as our solo careers too.
So with the solo, are you, I see that you dibble and dabble with hip hop and R&B. Is this solo project going to be a mixture of both? Are you going to lean more towards hip hop, more towards R&B? What do you have for us?
Yeah, so what I'll be releasing as a solo artist, it'll be all R&B. I feel like the game is definitely missing R&B these days. So I want to bring that light to the situation and make sure that I drop R&B. So that's the focus. That's everything that my audience is going to hear this year is R&B.
So who would you look for inspiration for R&B to get you to like where you are right now?
So who I look to inspiration for R&B? I look to inspiration from like growing up, NDRE, Jill Scott. Right now I listen to a lot of her and Jasmine Sullivan. Oh yeah, I've been listening to Jasmine Sullivan a lot. And I listened to her, Jasmine Sullivan, growing up too. So those are the key people that I pull inspiration from when it comes to R&B, and Chris Brown too.
Yeah, those are some good artists to get inspired from, like vocally, content-wise, like that you can't go wrong with that.
Thanks.
How exactly do you? Because I'm loving more of the landscape of R&B now, even though it's more of a trap vibe of R&B. It's not really the traditional, like, crooning that we're used to, like hearing like in the 90s and stuff. Is that more of what you're going to give us, or are you going to have it more modern with your sound?
So I think my sound is modern, but I also think it's a type of R&B that a lot of people haven't heard before, just because my voice is so different. But I do think it's a mix between old school and modern.
Okay. Have you done any like duets of for R&B in a sense, or has are you just usually like fly solo?
So my first single dropping on February 26th, it's with Lito Garcia, and he's an artist from Chicago also. He's actually on that single that's coming up. So it'll be us on that single. And then I have a few other features too coming this year. And then the rest is mostly solo.
Okay. Most of your features also from Chicago?
Yeah, so most of my features are from Chicago. I do want to work with people outside of Chicago too. But right now, starting off, everybody on a song this year is from Chicago. But it's only like two features so far.
Okay. So what's the name of the single that you're looking to drop on us real soon?
So the single that I'm dropping on February 26th, it's called Men Lie. It's going to be available on all platforms, YouTube. We'll have the music video dropping, so stay tuned for that. So it's called Men Lie.
So I'm assuming all men lie. I
No.
feel attacked.
Just some men, but that's too long for the title.
Women lie too.
That's true. That's true.
Would you
That's
feel
true.
someone would take this and flip it and kind of like do a response version to this? Would you like to even see something like that?
Hey, if they flip it and do a response, that would be dope. I think it definitely would be dope for them to do a response. And who knows? I might hop on the remix and respond back. So
'Cause
I
that's what I
think that would
remember,
be amazing.
her having, and then there was an artist that I'm actually cool with. His name is Him, and he was just doing a bunch of
Oh, yeah.
responses to her, and like now obviously that's lost steam, and he's actually repackaging himself, and he should be dropping a lot more stuff in the next few months. But I just always thought that like having a song that's like very like one-sided always kind of like would kind of pique the interest to have someone do a response version to it, because it's kind of like cool to see
Right.
like both sides of like how a certain topic might fall down. Let me, as we're slowly starting to wrap up here, do you feel going back to COVID, has that affected your mental health at all? Has that has any mental health issues like pierce through your music at all, how you are writing, your emotions and stuff like that?
As far as my writing, I don't think it really affects my writing, just because I write mostly about like relationships and stuff that people have gone through. Whether it's relationships, whether it's recently, I just wrote a song for a short film series. So I think it really just depends. But as far as COVID affecting my music, I don't really think it has. Day-to-day life is a little bit different now. Some days you have your days where you're like, oh yeah, I could deal with being inside, but some days it's just like, I really wish that I'm able to go to a concert, or I'm able to go to the movies, or I travel like I used to. So it's definitely in day-to-day life, but not as far as the music.
As a person who's traveled an unhealthy amount of times this past year and even now, the travel is so brutal. It's like,
I heard.
it's just like getting to the airport is cool, but once you're starting to get through TSA, it is a nightmare. It's just bad. I'm actually flying out like in the next couple days, and I'm not even looking forward to it because just that process of trying to get on a plane is just brutal. And then flying with a mask on the entire time, I don't know, it's just a lot.
Yeah, I heard. Like, I haven't even attempted to fly. Like, I heard that you had to get tested, and you had to, like, it's way different these days. So I could definitely understand that.
Yeah, and then it's like you'll get to a place and it's cool. And technically, when you land, you're supposed to quarantine, but it's like, who's gonna quarantine? Like, you're flying for a reason. Then, like, when you fly back, you have to also quarantine, which puts you, it's like for one particular trip, you'll lose like a month in a sense of like, yeah, I gotta wait 14 days for me to resume, like, regular activity. And when I land at where I was going initially, I had to like wait 14 days for me to resume activity. It's bad. I don't like, if you don't have to fly, I recommend you don't. But it's like, in the business that we're in, it's like kind of like obligatory. Like, you there's no other way around it. Like,
Yeah, definitely, it's hard.
it's but I'm glad the mental health and is not affecting music, because I've interviewed other artists and it has. It's put I feel also, maybe I'll get your opinion on this. Do you feel for you to stay relevant, you maybe felt forced to drop music just to stay, like, you know, on people's minds? Or were you gonna drop the music like as you planned, and you just stuck to your guns?
I dropped the music as I planned. I don't think I had to force people, to see me or like to stay relevant. I feel like I offer a sound that's very unique and rare, to the point where it's like, okay, they'll wait for me to drop, and then when I drop, it's like, oh, this is what I've been waiting for. Like, I'm definitely not going to disappoint. And I really just stick to what, I want to do as far as dropping. If I have to push it back, then I push it back. But one thing I make sure to do is I try not to tell them a date that I drop before I actually know. I'll usually say, like, I'm dropping next month, and if I have to push it back, then I have to push it back. I actually had to push this drop back a couple times, but I definitely make sure I don't tell a date, and also I don't feel pressured to drop at all. I'm excited to drop, definitely. I always want to drop music, but I had to make sure that my business was straight before anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most important part. Like I said, people, like the outsiders, like the listeners only know, like, they don't really see what goes on behind the scenes, what it takes to actually construct a song. Like, obviously, you know, you pick your beat, you know, you write your lyrics, you lay down the vocals, but that's the fun part. That's the easy part. The hard part comes, like, you know, making sure everything is proper, so when you drop, there's no loose ends on the back end that could kind of, like, you know, like, just bite you in the ass, for real.
Definitely, yeah.
I also see that you've dibbled and dabbled in like photography and film.
Oh yeah, I definitely have Nia ICL Productions. So I'm working on making that an LLC so I could drop my music under that. Because right now, when I drop my music, it's under Neoticl Productions, but I want to make sure I have an LLC for it. But when like in my free time, if I can, I make sure I do my film, photography. Like recently, I just did a behind the scenes footage for Simbo, and just shot that. And I have fun editing stuff, so I just do that in my free time now. But in college, I used to actually get paid to do it.
So, are you for film? Is this more for music videos? Is this more for like full film? Is this more like what aspect of like filming are you most I guess focused on when you do when you film?
So right now it's mainly YouTube and music. So before Corona, I used to drop vlogs on YouTube, and those would do pretty good. And just entertainment videos, YouTuber type videos. And for instance, I would do a college, I would go around and ask questions, like people questions on campus. And I also did a Vegas vlog. That's my most recent vlog. But of course, since Corona, I can't even really do vlogs. I could do them, but it's not gonna be like the vlogs that I used to do, which is me traveling. But I do YouTube and I also do the music, so behind the scenes. And I used to do music videos also.
That's dope. I have a cousin in LA. She owns a production company, and just through her, like every time I'm out there, if she's working on set for either a movie or a doc, she'll be like, "Oh, you want to get an IMDb credit?" And I'm like, "Sure." And then she'll just bring me in, and I'll just be like a PA. So I like
Oh, that's
slowly
dope.
like learn like, "Oh, this is how the magic is done." So when I hear other people do film, I kind of like piques my interest to see like like what aspect, because there's just so much to do. It's not like
Yeah.
just one like aspect of it for real.
Exactly. That's dope.
Yeah, man, because and especially during this time, one thing that I've learned about COVID myself is to try to get your hands in as many things as possible.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
Like a little background of myself, I had a semi-successful podcast and it ended. And from that, I kind of just was not doing anything. I was not in media. I also work in fashion. I wasn't doing that. It was just like everything just stopped. And when COVID happened, and I was just telling myself, like, man, I really want to get back in the podcast arena. I really want to get back into like, working at a radio station. I really want to start, my own embroidery company to, get back into fashion. And just speaking these things and manifesting these things, like by the time 2020 was done, like I've been able to kind of get back into all three. So that's like the one thing I've managed to like really take COVID for is like just do it. Like get in as many things as you can. Something's gonna pop, like especially if you're multi-talented. And that's another thing that it's like you have to be able to do more than one thing. You cannot be just one-dimensional. So seeing that you do computer science, you work in film, you do music, and within music itself you rap and then you do R&B. It's like you have to be multifaceted in order to even like have someone look at you for real.
Exactly, yeah, because you could meet somebody. Like I met somebody when I wasn't even doing my music. It wasn't even my music video. It was my cousin's music video, and I was just helping shoot behind the scenes, and he wanted to help me come up with a storyline because the guy that I met is a videographer. So I was like, cool, dope, I'll help you come up with a storyline for the music video. So it's like you could meet different people from different areas of your life. It doesn't even have to be one concentration that you're in. So it definitely builds your network. It helps you to know that, okay, if something, one thing isn't going well, okay, I'm gonna work harder, come back to it. While I do that, I'm gonna go ahead and do my other talent. So definitely.
Yeah, one thing that I like try to tell like other creatives is to leave such a good impression that when you're not physically present in the room and your name comes up, like it makes an impact because you never know who's watching. Like content, like you'll create, let's you're dropping this song on the 26th. This lives forever. Like it may be in a year or two, it may be old to you, but someone, you know, may not have heard of you, and they're gonna see something else that you do. It's like, yo, this is really dope. I want to see more what they have. Oh, wow, this is really good. Where was I? And it's just like, that's the dope thing about like constantly creating content, and whether it be like an interview or, you know, because this is something now that someone may hear and to want to get to know more of you of, and it's like, oh wow, like this is the more human side of this person. Oh wow, this person went to college like I, oh I did that major. It's like things like that that have to be compiled so people can kind of like follow you on your journey. And that's why I tell everyone that I either meet in an interview capacity or if we're just like shooting the shit at a bar, is like you have to have your name like resonate when you're not in a room. That's like key.
Yeah, that's powerful because definitely being in different spaces, my name has floated around rooms where I'm just like, they're like, I was talking to so and so about you, and I'm just like, what? That's crazy. So definitely, there's a lot of truth to what you said.
Do you feel that you're looking at like a major to sign to a major? Are you already signed to a major? Do you feel like independence, if you are just an independent artist, is that a route that you would plan to stay in, or would you like to look to get into a major?
So right now I'm focused on the independent route. Like if it gets too much, I might look at a distribution deal, but right now I'm really focused on being independent and seeing where I could take it independently.
Yeah, I always, that's another question I always feel like I have to ask an artist just to see where their headspace is, because like I feel like especially with contracts and everything being a 360 nowadays, it kind of sucks. It's like, damn, I'm doing this thing on my own on this corner, but now it's like you feel like you need a piece of it. You know what I mean? It's like the landscape for contracts and just like business has changed. And some people kind of just throw caution to the wind. They kind of want that instant gratification now. They want to have the machine now, and then they'll figure it out on the back end. I always usually try to preach independence because it's like, I feel like once you have a big machine behind you, it stifles your creative in a sense. Like they have to like, oh, you can't do it this way. You can't wear this. You can't say that. As opposed to like an independent is like, yo, I'm my own boss for real. Like, I do what I want.
Right, yeah, definitely being in a major label, that like it's different type of stipulations that they have. Like I'm really not in a rush to sign when that's it. If that's it, well, when that situation comes up, I'll address it, but I'm really focused on being independent and really like owning my own art, my own creation. I'm big on that, so I'm not in a rush. If it happens, we just have to make sure it happens correctly.
Oh,
But
yeah.
it's just so much going on as far as like artists not getting what they want and them being unhappy that I don't have any problem being independent. Like, I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, I have like one of my best friends, he does music and he has several people like from different labels, like either smaller distribution labels or just majors that have like come up to him and like offered him like what is now the quote unquote standard contract. And it's like, it's like they try to take control of like everything in a sense, and it's like we're coming from the bottom, so like we've never seen quote unquote this amount of money, and you know, at one time. So it's like, oh wow, like I'm interested, like yo, this looks great, but it's like you're giving up everything. It's like you're literally giving up your freedom, and it's like like I said all the time, for the amount of artists or just creatives as a whole that I meet, I try to always preach independence, but I don't know, some people really only are in it for the money, so they don't necessarily really care about the art. I kind of get a sense that you're strictly about the art, and you know, the money's definitely. Just gonna come.
Yeah, I'm definitely not in it for the money at all. I'm in it because I love to do it. Like, I'm already in the tech field, so I'm really not in it for the money. I just love to make music. And like, if the money comes, it comes. But at the end of the day, I want to make sure I put out good music. I enjoy it. Like, I've grown up doing music, so I'm definitely not blinded by the money at all.
All right, well, tell the listeners where to follow you, where to just remind everyone the name of the single, all that good stuff, what may be coming down the line for you.
So I'm Nia ICL. You can follow me on every social media at Nia_ICL. That's ASIEL. And I have a single called Men Lie dropping February 26th. Definitely make sure you tune in. I'll have music videos dropping all this year, and let's get ready to take it to the top. And thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for being on. This is Ash Madison of the No Coastline Podcast, and we out.